Be'ezus Hashem, we are now beginning our Parsha class. It is Yud Dalid Siman Tov Shin Ayin Ches, corresponding with the English calendar of May 28th, 2018. This week's Parsha is Parsha Bahalaischa, and there are many things in the Parsha. I'm going to try to pull together various parts surrounding one particular area, and we'll see something very interesting taking place. As an introduction to this parsha, Parsha Bahalaischa actually is the third of a series of three parshas that teach us the importance of Seder, of being organized. I was taught this in my yeshiva days, in Tel's yeshiva. Tel's yeshiva is a yeshiva there, the one that's in Chicago, that was the branch. The main yeshiva was in Cleveland, Wycliffe, Ohio, as run by great people, giants of Torah. I was very privileged to learn in such a institution. And as they started off saying that one of the hallmarks of the Tel's yeshiva is to being organized, Mesuda. And we see Parshas Bamidbar begins with the parsha with the Degolim, with the camps. There were four camps, and each camp had a Degel. A Degel is a flag, and the flag had three different colors, because each machne, each camp had, were comprised of three camps, of three shvatim, right? For example, Degel Machne Yehuda was comprised with Shevet Yehuda, Shevet Yisachar, and Zevulun. And therefore the flag had the color of the Choshen that represented that Shevet, and so forth. Every machna had this part of the master plan, that the Jewish people go into a unstructured environment such as a desert, and had been organized to be able to live as a community, but to be organized. Parshas Naso takes it a step further. Parshas Naso talks about the four camps were part of three major camps. There was Machne Yisrael, the camp of the Jewish people where the four machnos actually settled. Think of it as a target with circles around the target, and there were three circles. The outer circle, then there was an inner circle, that was the Machna Levia, the camp where the Levium lived. Then was the center, the bullseye, Machna Shechina. Again, there had to be a sense of organization in order for Klal Yisrael to reach its highest level. Parshas Bahalaischa goes even to a third step, that there was the PA system, so to say, a public address system, where they were able to communicate with all the people at once, or all the Nesiim at once, so that Moshe Rabbeinu had control over Klal Yisrael. How was that done? It was done with bachatzotzos, with the trumpets. There were two silver trumpets, and these trumpets were blown at certain times. They were blown if there was a necessity to gather the Jewish people to travel. It was blown to alert them of war. It was blown to summon just the Nesiim, the princes, to come forth, that Moshe Rabbeinu wants to speak with them. It was a form of communication, and Klal Yisrael lived in the desert for 40 years, being organized with such a system in order for them to reach their highest level. When the clouds that led the Jewish people moved from the top of the Oron, top of the Mishkan, I should say, it meant that Hashem wants Klal Yisrael to travel. And of course, the trumpets were blown that alerted the Jewish people, and not, of course, at once, but there was a whole Seder, a whole order of how the camps would travel and who would disassemble the Mishkan and how it was disassembled and what was covered so that the Levium that carried the Kalim, the vessels, the Aron, the Shulchan, how they were instructed to carry it, and so forth. We're going to now dwell in a little bit of that episode of traveling, but dwell on a pasuk that opens up a whole new frontier that we can discuss openly and that touches upon much of our life that we do, that we live here in Galus. Turn to page 780 in your Chumash. We're going to be at Revi'i, at Pasuk Tezvav. And the pasuk begins, Ubiyom Hakimes HaMishkan, and the day that the Mishkan was set up, Kisa Ha'anan as HaMishkan, the cloud, the Shechina, covered the Mishkan. The Oyel Ha'edus, that was an oyel, that was a tabernacle, it was a cover for the testimony, meaning which was to the luchos. Ube'erev yiel ha'mishkan kemari esh ad boker. At night it would appear as a fiery cloud on the Mishkan, and people could see it from far until the morning. When the morning came, it turned from a fiery cloud to a plain cloud. But anyone who wanted to see that cloud was able to see it. So this was constantly that the cloud had covered the Mishkan or Mari Esh Laila, and every night it would appear as a fiery cloud. And when the cloud would rise from upon the Oyel, that's the Mishkan, the Achakein, and afterwards Yisu b'nei Yisrael, the Jewish people would travel. And in that place where the cloud would rest, that is where the Jewish people would rest. Basically, Hashem was leading the Jewish people throughout the desert every step of the way. They weren't going to be lost. They were not going to be led astray or be abandoned. They were being led by Hashem Himself.
And that started when the tabernacle was set up?
Yes.
Not before.
Well, yes and no. There was the clouds before. That's what led the Jewish people from Mitzrayim. And they had both clouds cover them and protect them from all different kinds of elements, and the cloud at night became fiery and bright, and it gave them light and warmth and all that kind of protection. But what the pasuk here is talking about, besides that, there was this cloud on top, together with in other words, in conjunction with the other clouds, right? Now, when that cloud would move, the cloud on top of the Mishkan, then they knew it's time to move. Wherever the cloud moved, that is where they went, and that's how they traveled. Pasuk Yud Ches. Right? Are you following?
Yeah.
Pasuk Yud Ches. Al Pi Hashem Yisu B'nei Yisrael, according to the words of Hashem, they traveled. The B'nei Yisrael traveled. V'alpi Hashem Yachinu, according to the word of Hashem, they settled. Kol Yimei Asher Yishken Ha'onan Al Mishkan Yachinu. All the time when the clouds settled on the Mishkan, they remained established. They remained settled. Sometimes the cloud stayed for many, many years. From the 40 years they were in desert, sometimes the cloud was there for several days. But the way the cloud settled and the way the cloud traveled, this is how the Jewish people travel. The pasuk that I just said, Al Pi Hashem Yisu B'nei Yisrael, Al Pi Hashem Yachnu, opened up a whole interesting new discussion, and let me explain what I mean. The Mefarshim explain that the Jewish people lived Al Pi Hashem. On the surface, literally, when you look at the pasuk, it's talking about the clouds. According to the way the clouds traveled, which was Al Pi Hashem, that is how they traveled. According to how they settled, that's how they traveled, that's how they settled. But the Mefarshim take this pasuk and go a little bit away from the simple translation, and they translate this in a much deeper, in a much deeper way. Al Pi Hashem Yachinu means according to the way the Jewish people were to live when they settled, when they were in their hometown or in their home environment. They lived Al Pi Hashem, according to the words of Hashem. But when they traveled, it was also Al Pi Hashem. When the Jewish people traveled, they conducted their lives also Al Pi Hashem. And let me explain this a little bit clearer. When the Jewish people were in their communities, right, and they lived according to the Pi Hashem, what would then the Pi Hashem mean, according to the way I'm putting a commentary to it? According to the words of the Torah, according to the dictates of the Torah, which is Al Pi Hashem, as the pasuk says, Al Pi Hashem Yisu B'nei Yisrael, Al Pi Hashem Yachinu. A Jew has to know that he has to live his life, whether he is in transit or whether he is established in one place. He has to learn to live Al Pi Hashem, according to the dictates of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What simply would mean, according to the Shulchan Aruch, Al Pi Hashem. Now, it was much easier for the Jewish people to live Al Pi Hashem Yachinu when they all camped together, when they all lived together, when they were in their Beis HaMikdash, when they were in Eretz Yisrael in their glorious years. It was beautiful Al Pi Hashem. Then what would they concentrate when they were in those days Al Pi Hashem? They would be concentrating on doing mitzvahs with more kavana. They will be concentrating and spending more time sitting and learning Torah. They will be spending more time doing chesed, because it's yachanu, it's not the one they're settled. But what happens if they're in Golis? What happens if they're traveling, they're not in their homeland? They are not where they should be. They're in Golis, they're all over the world. The Torah is telling us right away that the way a Jew has to live, Al Pi Hashem Yisu. Even when you're traveling away, you has to be Al Pi Hashem. So, to put it in much more contemporary terms, a person is traveling on a business trip, it has to be Al Pi Hashem. It has to be according to the dictates of Hashem, whether he has to keep the laws of tefillah, of davening, on Shabbos, it has to be keeping the laws of Shabbos. Whether it's kashrus, he has to keep the laws of kashrus. Al pi Hashem Yisu. Just like the Jewish people traveled al pi Hashem, it has to be al pi Hashem where they travel. They have to be al pi Hashem. And that's really on a very simple, modern interpretation, because even when you're on a business trip, it has to be al pi Hashem. But in a little deeper sense, where we're also talking about where we're all living in Golus. And when we're living in Golus, we're not Yachanu. You might be under the misconception that if you're living in a comfortable house, when you have a nice green lawn and a beautiful backyard, and things are really going kind of well, business is thriving, family is growing, food on the table, bills are being paid, time for luxurious trips and vacationing, that's still really categorized, as far as we Jews are concerned, as Al-Pi Yisu. When we travel, Al-Pi Hashem Yisu. We're going to travel, it should be Al-Pi Hashem Yisu. What does that mean? We're still in Golus, with a comfortable home, with the conveniences of a modern affluent world, but we're still in Golus. It has to be Al-Pi Hashem Yisu. We have to be careful that we are enveloped with a world of immorality, a world in violence. Listen, I just listened to the 680 news when we're coming home from Kollel, and I had to shut it. It talks about someone killing and somebody bombing a restaurant. Who has to? I always say it's not news, it's noise. Who has to hear that? But that's the world we live in. Listen, you got to take it as it is. We have to realize this is the world we live in. So we have to be able to shelter our homes and ourselves from this kind of stuff. And to be able to know that when we travel in this Golus, and we are traveling in this Golus, because being in Toronto is not Eretz Yisrael, and it's not where we should be. We're here because Hashem stationed us here according to His dictates of where Golus is going to bring the Jewish people. But that's where we are. But while we are in the state of Yisu, while we are in the state of traveling, it has to be Al-Pi Hashem. So we've got to be careful on the things we do. We have to be careful on the things we are exposing ourselves and our family to. We got to be careful of what we eat. We have to be careful in how we speak. We have to be careful how we conduct ourselves between ourselves and our co-workers. We got to be Al-Pi Hashem Yisu. What we do, where we go, how we live, how we speak, how we conduct ourselves, it has to be Al-Pi Hashem. This is a commentary that I'm reading into the Psukim. Al-Pi Hashem. It has to be Al-Pi Hashem. Of course, if it's Yachanu, when the Jewish people are settled, it's much, much easier. And you know, let me tell you something. It might seem a little surprising to you, but the Jewish people had it a lot better as far as Al-Pi Hashem in the shtetlach, in the crowded ghettos, where they lived for years and years and years and years, and they raised their families, and they lived with glory in the Torah sense of the word. They lived with honor of the Torah and the dedication and the beauty of Torah. They lived among themselves like an incubator. They were insulated from the harsh elements that we are so often exposed to, that we sometimes become deaf, dumb, and blind to it, because we become immune already to some of the things that we see that we don't even bother ourselves from. I recall of the it was the Chofetz Chaim, I think it was the Chofetz Chaim or another great man, who for the first time saw Chilul Shabbos. He became, in Yiddish there's this term, ois mensch. He couldn't come to terms with himself. He saw Chilul Shabbos, he couldn't, how can you be Machal Shabbos? Hashem created the world in 6 days and rest on Shabbos. Yes?
You know, what you just described to me, the shtetls and stuff, so I'm thinking about Poland.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about the small towns and all the Jewish way of life there.
Yes.
And then I'm thinking about Kristallnacht.
Yeah.
And what happened.
Yes.
And I mean, like you had this nice time and all of a sudden, you know, like it was an explosion.
Right.
And, you know, like, I can't, yeah, nobody can.
We can't put our own mind and interpretation to
but
something.
I'm just following your
I understand, but the truth of the matter is, the Jewish people had a lot easier time being Jews.
Prior, perhaps.
Yeah, prior to that period. But you hear what I'm trying to say? Al pi Hashem Yisu, al pi Hashem Yachnu, the Jewish people lived al pi Hashem all the time. Whether they were settled or whether they were in transit. And we are in transit. It has to be al pi Hashem. The Chofetz Chaim brings out at the beginning of Parshas Shemos, where I think I even mentioned it many, many weeks ago when we actually learned Shemos. I'll just tell it to you outside, where it says over here, Ve'elu Shemos b'nei Yisrael habon mitzrayma eish Yaakov ishu ve'isebo. The Chofetz Chaim right away says it's redundant. These are the names of the Jewish people, habon mitzrayma. So you include the Jewish people, Yaakov and his family. Why did they have to repeat again Yaakov and his family? If you're telling the b'nei Yisrael, Yisrael is also Yaakov. Mm-hmm. And the sons of Yisrael. The Jewish people, B'nai Yisrael, what do you have to say? So Chofetz Chaim right away, what is this redundancy? And the Chofetz Chaim says, this was the condition that the Jewish people permitted themselves to go to this place called Egypt, Mitzrayim, which was known to be the center of immorality and idolatry. This was the modern world at that time, the modern civilization at that time that had all of this decrepit cultures and ideologies that would contaminate the Jew and his home. The Jewish people says, we're not going without a Yaakov Avinu. If Yaakov was coming with us, then we're going down to Egypt. Without Yaakov, we're not going. That's why the pasuk says, "Es Yaakov Yishu Veisebo." With Yaakov, a man and his household, they came. That they went together as community to Mitzrayim, and they settled together as a community. So Yaakov Avinu, in a sense, insulated the Jewish people. When they lived in the city of Goshen, that's a city where the Jewish people settled right away, and there they were safe and sound. As soon as they left and they were away from Yaakov, the pasuk says, "Vayakom Melech Chadash," a new king arose. Hashem purposely made that happen. If you're leaving your protective environment and you stop living like a Yaakov, then comes a new king, a new Paro that was oppressive, that enslaved, that was cruel and wicked to the Jewish people, and that kept them in line. You know why? Because the Jewish people couldn't assimilate with the Egyptians, because Paro didn't let them. But it was their fault because they assimilated. They tried to assimilate with the Egyptians. They left their incubator.
Really?
That's what happened. So we know that when you're settled, you have to be al pi Hashem, and if you're not settled and you're traveling, it also has to be al pi Hashem. to be very careful. Now, in this week's parsha, it's interesting, because we're running out of time, but I like to say two incidents that fits our whole discussion. Right before, we'll talk about Al Pi Hashem, how you live Al Pi Hashem. Let's turn the page to page, let's see, over here, page 778. Go back one page, actually, 778. And this is the story. Now, you see, if the Jewish people lived Al Pi Hashem, look how they think. You're going to notice a very important thing I'm going to bring out to you. This is the story of Pesach Sheni. The story of Pesach Sheni, I'll tell you outside, and then I'll read a few words inside. The story of Pesach Sheni is that there were several people that were Tamei Meis. According to a commentary in the Gemara, it was those who carried the body of Nadav and Avihu. Nadav and Avihu, who brought strange fire on the Mizbeach on the day of the inauguration, died right by the Mizbeach. And quickly, Moshe says, quickly, we have to remove them. We have to remove them from the Mishkan.
Didn't the Eish burn them all up?
No. It was fire. It was two sparks went into one person's nostril and burned inside and made him die. And another two sparks went into the other one. One Nadav and Avihu. So quickly, Moshe says, quickly, we have to get him out of the Mishkan. He's the Tamei. And we were in the process of inaugurating and anointing and all everything that's happening.
We can go over it more next time.
So they were Tamei. Then right away was Pesach. They couldn't bring the Korban Pesach on Yud Dalet Nisan. Why? Because they were Tamei. Okay? Let's read a few psukim over here. Okay, we'll start from Pasuk Aleph at Shlishi. Okay, I'll read a few and then I'll maybe skip a few.
They didn't say who the men were.
I'll tell you the truth, I actually forgot. I think they were the cousins. They were the cousins of Nadav and Avihu. The Gemara speaks about it. I forgot who they were. But we know there were people who had to become Tamei, because they were obligated, but then they couldn't eat the Korban Pesach on Yud Dalet Nisan. Right? The first. Okay. This is the first time when the Jewish people made the Korban Pesach after the original Korban Pesach, which was in Egypt. Okay, let's read on a little bit. Vayedav Hashem Moshe b'Midbar Sinai. Hashem spoke to Moshe in Midbar Sinai b'Shana Hashenis on the second year of Yetzeis Meretz Mitzrayim. Right, this is like the second Pesach that existed. B'Chodesh Harishon Leiman, the first month, saying, "V'yasu b'nei Yisrael es haPesach b'moedo," and the Jewish people should make the Korban Pesach in its time. When? Next pasuk Gimel. B'arba'asa yoyim b'Chodesh Hazeh, on the 14th day of this month, bein arba'im, towards the evening, tasu osu b'moedo, they should make the Korban Pesach in its time. K'chol chukai Yisrael, and all of its lords, u'b'chol mishpatav, and all of its judgments, tasu osu, they should be made. Vayidaber Moshe al Bnei Yisrael asos haPesach, and then Moshe spoke to the Jewish people to make the Korban Pesach. Okay, so far you have the picture. It's the second year, it's going to be the second Pesach, and now Moshe is telling them, you must prepare, now you must make a Korban Pesach on Yud Dalet Nisan. Vayasu, the Torah tells that they made a Pesach. Vayasu, it's a Pesach Barishan Barbo, also Yem Lachodesh, Bein Arbayim. And they did the Korban Pesach on the 14th day towards the evening, B'midbar Sinai, in the Midbar of Sinai. Ukachol HaShitiv Hashem, as Moshe came also B'nai Yisrael, as Hashem commanded Moshe, so the Jewish people did. Now comes a problem. Pasuk Vav. Vayihi Anashim, and there were people, Ashahayu Temeim L'Nefesh Adam, and they became tamei to a person, to a soul. They couldn't make the Korban Pesach in that day. They weren't able to. Oy, oy, oy. And this was a terrible thing. They had a Korban Pesach, which is a mitzvah asay. And let me add something. There are two mitzvahs asay in the Torah that if you don't fulfill, you get punished with karis, with extinction, from being cut off from the world to come. The one is bris milah, and the other mitzvah is Korban Pesach. And look, they said, look, we were tamei v'layachol asus haPesach b'yamahu v'yikvu l'fnei Moshe l'fnei Aaron b'yamahu. They came close to Moshe, and what did they say? V'yamu ha'anashim ha'hema elav. These people said to him, Anachnu tameim. We are tameim l'nefesh adam. We became tamei. Lama nigara levilti hakriv es korban Hashem b'mayada. Why shall we be denied not to bring a korban b'sorach b'nei Yisrael? Look what they're saying. We wanted to, but we couldn't. What are we going to do? V'yom alei Moshe imdu. Stay here. Stand here. V'eshma ma'yitzav Hashem lachem. I will ask Hashem, and he will command you what to do. Next page. And the next page was, without going into too much detail, is the mitzvah of Korban Pesach Sheni. Now listen to what happened over here. Because they said Lama Nigora, they were eager to do the mitzvah, but they didn't have an opportunity. They said to Moshe, Lami Din Gora. So what happened? They were the people who, because of them, brought the mitzvah of Korban Pesach to the Jewish people. They were responsible for the Jewish people to make a Korban Pesach. And we learn from over here that if you want to be able to do a mitzvah, and Hashem will give you an opportunity. If you lost a mitzvah, if you lost out in doing a mitzvah, then Hashem will give you an opportunity to make it up. It's in your hands. It's in your hands to do this mitzvah. Hashem will offer you the opportunity to do this mitzvah. And so on page 780 goes all through the mitzvah of Korban Pesach Sheni. This is an interesting thing that opens up. It opens up a whole idea that if a person is anxious to do a mitzvah, Hashem gives you the opportunity to do a mitzvah. But he has to hear you complain. Why shall I be denied? Hashem looks in your heart and feels your feeling, your emotion. It bothers you that you didn't do a mitzvah? I'll see to it that will give you an opportunity to do a mitzvah. You'll get another opportunity. Lami nigara. Now, going back to our original discussion, this is such a beautiful example in the very parasha that we're learning of what it means, Al Pi Hashem Yachnu. According to the words of Hashem, they camped. When you are in the presence of the Shekhinah, when you're in the presence of an established Jewish community, then you think like Lamin Nigara, why shall we be denied? Why shall we be denied? When we don't live in a community saturated with Kedusha, do we always think like that, Lama Nigara? Not always. Not always. I always give this example. It just hits home every time. What bothers us more? Missing Baruch Hu at a minyan because we were a minute late, or losing the 75 cents in the Coke machine that doesn't give you the Coke? What bothers you more? Think about it. How badly does it bother you? I missed that Baruch Hu by a minute. Should have hurried up before. That is the litmus paper test. How you feel about the mitzvahs that you are engaged in. If you are involved in a community of Torah where you can call yourself, I'm settled in this community, then you know what? Then you'll be speaking like the Jewish people, like the people who are tamei in the desert, when they couldn't bring the first korban, on the korban Pesach, that means on Yud Dalet, on the proper day. They came to Moshe and says, "Lamini Gura, what shall we do? Why shall we be denied the mitzvah? We want the mitzvah. It's a tremendous mitzvah. One mitzvah, a tremendous opportunity." But if we don't live in that kind of lifestyle and community, then losing a can of pop hurts more. Think about that. Unfortunately, you're going to go a few pages ahead, and there are some people who didn't live al pi Hashem in the very parasha. And that's the parasha of Kemisonim. That's the parasha where the Jewish people complained about not his page 788 in the art scroll. Let's turn to Pasuk Dalet. For his Asev Asher Bekirbo, there was this whole complaint about not having geese, not having meat, not having meat in the desert, even though they'd been eating the man daily, that tasted like anything. But they were complaining about not having. Look at Pasuk Dalet. This complaining among the Jewish people and having this desire of wanting this flesh, this meat, I should say. And they caught, this is the Erev Rav that caused the Jewish people to cry too. This is among the Jewish people in the desert. There was so much cattle. There was a miracle that grass grew for the cattle. And they're complaining, who's going to give us basar? They wanted a certain kind of basar. They're like saying, oh, we have all the meat we need, but I need the pastrami sandwich. Without the pastrami sandwich and the thick pickle that goes with it, I won't be happy. Interesting. That was the complaint. That was the complaint the Erevav had. They remember the fish that they had there in Egypt with the cucumbers and the other delicious vegetables that they ate over there. And they created created a whole commotion. Now you see, when you don't live al pi Hashem, then you can have a group such as the Erev Rav influenced people to complain about not having meat when they had meat. When they had meat. So what we have to walk away from this week's parasha is that we have to realize that wherever we live, whatever our station in life is, it has to be al pi Hashem. Al pi Hashem Yisu, al pi Hashem Yachnu. According to the word of Hashem, we shall travel. If you are in transit, if you are in Golus, shbi al pi Hashem. If you are settled in your community, if you're when the Jewish people are already in Israel and with their base in Mikdash, it still has to be al pi Hashem. That is how a Jew has to live. And I just want to conclude with a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. His last week is Perek Aleph, and it says the following. He says, Yeshua ben Prachi v'nita harbeli kibla mehem. Yeshua ben Prachi and Nita harbeli was Makabo from Yosin ben Yoezer ish Tzereda v'yosi ben Yochanan ish Yushalayim. And they said the following. Asei lecha rav uknei lecha chaver. Make for yourself a rav and acquire for yourself a friend. Ve'avidon is called Adam Lakavsakus, and judge everybody favorably. The first part is really relevant to our Dvar Torah, our discussion in this parasha. If you don't know what to do, asei lecha rav. Make for yourself a Rebbe. Make for yourself a Rebbe. There is no excuse not to ask. And in the world that we live in the world of cell phones, you pick up a cell phone and you call the local Orthodox rabbi and ask him, what do I do in this situation? Asei l'charav. If you could remember that, so you'll definitely be able to fulfill what we have just learned. Al pi Hashem Yisu, al pi Hashem Yachnu. According to the words of Hashem, you will travel, and according to the words of Hashem, you will settle, and you'll be able to fulfill Hashem's words day in and day out, week in, week out, and month in and month out, the entire year, 24/7. Have a wonderful week.
Thank you.